Well, checking basketball news, Maryland junior guard Melo Trimble is foregoing his final year of collegiate eligibility to enter the NBA draft, and he will sign with an agent. The three-time All-Big Ten selection helped the Terrapins advance to its third straight NCAA tournament appearance this season. He also led the team with 16.8 points per game. Trimble is also one of four players in Maryland history to record 1,600 points, 400 assists, and 150 steals. Miami of Ohio has hired Purdue assistant coach Jack Owens as its 27th basketball coach. Owens has been an assistant at Purdue for 9 seasons, including the past 6 as associate head coach. The Redhawks fired John Cooper March 10th after an 11-21 season. UMass has hired Matt McCall as its next basketball coach after Winthrop's Pat Kelsey backed out of an agreement to take over the program. The 35-year-old McCall spent the previous 2 seasons in Chattanooga and led the school to last year's NCAA tournament. He replaces Derek Kellogg, who was fired this month after 9 seasons with the Minutemen. UNLV has announced that Tony Baxter Jr., Zion Morgan, and Jalen Poyser will not return to the team next season. Those three players combined to average 17.5 points a game for the Runnin' Rebels this season. Poyser provided about 10 points per game. Well, Nebraska forward Ed Morrow Jr. has announced that he intends to transfer to another school after the spring semester. Morrow said in a statement Wednesday night that he's leaving to pursue dreams and aspirations. He said it was a hard decision because his parents are Nebraska graduates and he spent much of his childhood in Lincoln. Morrow was rated as high as a 4-star prospect coming out of Simeon High School in Chicago in 2015. Coach Tim Miles says he's disappointed but that he supports Morrow. Morrow averaged 9.5 points and a team-leading 7.5 rebounds in 24 games as a sophomore. He posted a team-high 3 double-doubles and scored 10 or more points in 10 games. He missed 7 games because of a foot injury. Referee John Higgins of Omaha has contacted law enforcement to report that he's received death threats after Kentucky's loss to North Carolina in the NCAA South Regional Final. A person with knowledge of that situation told the Associated Press that Higgins reported threats on his home phone, which has an unlisted number, and on the office phone for his roofing company. The person was asking for anonymity because the investigation continues. The Facebook page for Higgins' roofing company also was inundated with negative comments about Higgins and the quality of his company's work. In a statement Wednesday, the Kentucky Athletic Department says it encourages fans to demonstrate good sportsmanship and discourages other kinds of behavior. Messages were left for Omaha Police and Kentucky State Police. On the court last night in the CIT tournament, round 4, it was Texas A&M Corpus Christi defeating Maryland Baltimore County 79-61 and St. Peter's down Furman 77-51. In the CBI tournament, round 4, Wyoming beat Coastal Carolina 81-57. Well, the Associated Press has compiled data from its men's basketball polls to determine the top 100 programs of all time. Kentucky is the all-time number one team with appearances in 75.4% of all polls and 124 number one rankings. The Wildcats are followed by North Carolina, Duke, and UCLA, the only other programs to be ranked at the top for more than 100 weeks. The Bruins have been number one more times than any other school, topping the list 134 times since that poll began in 1949. Kansas, Indiana, Louisville, Arizona, Syracuse, and Cincinnati round out a top 10 that includes only schools that have won national championships. A federal judge has granted the University of North Carolina's request to dismiss the Chapel Hill School from a lawsuit filed by two former Tar Heels athletes tied to its multi-year academic scandal. U.S. District Court Judge Loretta C. Biggs stated the school had an 11th Amendment immunity as an arm of the state that prevented it from being sued in federal court. The plaintiffs were former football player Michael McAdoo and former women's basketball player Kenya McBee. McAdoo filed his class action lawsuit in November 2014 amid the scandal tied to irregular courses in an academic department popular with athletes. Women's basketball saw its lowest attendance for the NCAA tournament regionals in 20 years, and there's no change in sight to the format. An average of 4,719 fans showed up for the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 games in the four neutral site venues. That's down 27% from last year and nearly 50% from 2014 when the games were played on campus sites. This year's numbers were bolstered by the Bridgeport Regional, which sold out both days that UConn was playing there. No other site had a local team in action. The NCAA already has awarded next year's regionals to Albany, Kansas City, Spokane, and Lexington. The 2019 and 2020 sites will be announced next month, and they too will be at neutral sites. The attendance news isn't all bad, though. The championship game is virtually sold out for the first time in a few years. Let's move on to college football news, as developing talent on the defensive line has never been a problem for the Iowa football program, but developing depth has been. The Hawkeyes have to replace defensive tackles Jaleel Johnson and Faith Akakadi off of last year's team that finished 8-5.
We'd really like to be able to play a lot of guys, and especially this year. We're going to be a little bit young inside at the tackle position. We're going to be young in terms of the players that we have, and probably not as have the size and the girth that we've had before with the seniors are graduating. So we're going to have to play a few more guys inside and so forth.
That's Iowa defensive line coach Reese Morgan, who says while Iowa won't change its 4-3 alignment on defense, they may have to get a little more creative with their calls.
You know, we'll continue to do what we do, you know, but we'll probably have some things that we'll package and have movements or shifts or something to put some pressure on a guy. We probably won't just say have a 250-pound guy line up across from a 330-pound guy and say, okay, beat him, 72 snaps in a row. You know, we probably won't do that all the time.
Morgan says a veteran offensive line will help the defensive front make some progress during spring drills.
But I think it's good for us every day to go against an outstanding offensive line, and we have really good players. So now each and every day we're going against really an excellent group. That's going to pay off for us when the season hits, after we get through August camp and so forth. Because, you've got guys that have played, guys that are good players and have played at a high level. So I think it's going to really help us a lot.
One option is moving defensive end Matt Nelson to tackle. The Cedar Rapids native was working at both spots before suffering a foot injury. Morgan feels that he'll be effective inside despite his 6-foot, 8-inch frame.
He may have vertical leverage, but he's got great length. Okay, so he creates a lot of frustrations for an offensive lineman, and if he uses that length consistently, boy, he's going to be hard to block wherever he plays.
Iowa's spring game is coming up on April 21st. Iowa State defensive end J.D. Wagner says what the Cyclones' defense lacks in experience, it makes up for in talent and depth. 8 players with starting experience are gone from last year's defense, including 3 on the defensive line.
We're definitely a very young group. Myself and Vernell are the only seniors, and so we're improving a lot. We definitely have a lot of talent. We got a lot of hard workers. Just got to keep improving every day, being consistent. I think we're going to get there.
Wagner started the first 7 games before suffering a season-ending shoulder injury against Baylor. He has returned to practice, but he won't be involved in full contact this spring.
I'm doing fine. I'm not doing any rehab anymore. More back in the weight room, and so I'll be good to go. I'm getting my strength back, and so I'm not really too worried about it.
Wagner says an influx of talented young players will create more competition for playing time.
Not a ton of experience, but I don't think that's the worst thing not to have. We got a lot of hungry guys who just want to be great and want to improve. And so I definitely have my work cut out for me coming back in the fall. I gotta show that I can play again. And so I definitely think we'll be good with these young guys.
Iowa State's spring game is coming up on April 8th. In baseball news, Addison Reed will be the Mets' closer when they open the season on Monday. Reed will handle the role while Jurys Familia serves a 15-game suspension without pay under Major League Baseball's domestic violence policy. Familia has accepted the suspension, which was handed down by MLB Wednesday. The punishment stems from Familia's October 31st arrest on a simple assault charge that was later dropped by prosecutors. Familia had a team record 51 saves for the Mets last year. The Indians will begin the season with outfielder Lonnie Chisenhall on the disabled list because of a right shoulder injury suffered last week. The team is hoping Chisenhall will be ready to return for the April 11th home opener against the White Sox. Cleveland is also opening its American League title defense without second baseman Jason Kipnis due to some right shoulder inflammation. The Texas Rangers still don't know if third baseman Adrian Beltre will open the season on the disabled list. Beltre hasn't played since Sunday due to a strained left calf. He also had a similar injury when he reported to camp, and he's hit just 1-for-28 this spring, including an 0-for-16 mark in the World Baseball Classic. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.